Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. Big Cass, we got a big guest today. We have the man, the myth himself, the mastermind behind the Silver Bulletin, Dave. Dave, how you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Really excited. Ready to talk some recruiting.
Yeah, thank you for being on the show. And one of the many guests we've had in the last couple of years due to the pandemic. But it's great to have you on and get the great insight of – you can give us a little insight of what the Silver Bulletin is and what your your goals are for us and the rest of the staff before we jump into recruiting, to give our listeners an idea of why we jump to this opportunity.
Yeah, sure. So me personally, I had an old venture a long time ago called Buckeyes News. It was pretty popular there back maybe around 2017. Then I went up to Ohio State, worked for 11 Warriors for all 4 years that I was in school. Graduated this past May, and the writing bug came back, so decided to get back in it. Silver Bulletin was born, and we've got a really good thing going here. We've got a great staff, some excellent coverage coming your way, and we're really excited for what we're going to bring to you guys.
I'm so psyched to be part of it. I mean, Bunch of Nuts was kind of looking for a home at one point. I mean, we were partnered up with Big Sports Bulletin, the site we started, but then it kind of fizzled out just because we couldn't get enough, writers, unfortunately. It's tough trying to cover the entire Big Ten Conference when there's, 14 teams. It's tough finding, like, Illinois and Purdue writers. So, but, I mean, we're psyched to have a home. We appreciate you, Dave, for having us. But, I mean, the big news, I guess, really is National Signing Day happened. Ohio State signed 18 players. They were supposed to sign 19, and then they had Terrence Brooks go to Texas, and then I guess it was really 17, and then Gabe Powers, of course, like we were talking about, signed on Friday. But I mean, I guess I'll start with Cass. Cass, who's your favorite signee out of the bunch?
Let me throw Sonny Styles out of this because everybody, Sonny Styles is my guy just because I've covered him in basketball and football, but my favorite guy outside of Sonny is C.J. Hicks. The dude is just so athletic, 6'3", 215. He's the number two in position, number 12 nationally, number one in the state, out of the Archbishop Alter in Dayton. He's just an unbelievable athlete, and it's something that this linebacker crew has lacked, especially this year. Hopefully he can come in, make a big impact right away, and I'm sure he's going to be an early enrollee. But it's just he kind of reminds me of a little bit like Malik Harrison a little bit, but I think he's going to be more polished and mature than what Malik Harrison was, because Malik Harrison was a project player, but this CJ Hicks could play right away. But he's my favorite outside of Stoney Styles, but that's a personal reason why Stoney Styles is my favorite.
Hicks reminds me kind of like almost like a Raekwon McMillan hype, like a guy like a guy who's going to step in and be a true freshman at the position and make some big time plays for us. Moving on, Dave, who's your favorite player out of the bunch?
Yeah, so I'm a Cincinnati guy, born and raised. So obviously, I have to give some love to my guys over there at Lakota West, Tegra, and Jair Brown. But for me personally, I was really, really excited when they were able to land Kojo Antwi out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ohio State's receiver room has been pretty stacked these last couple of years, but keeping it that way is key. And I know Kojo is the lowest rated of the four wide receivers they signed, but if you had to tell me, hey, you got to pick one, that's the guy I'm going with, is Kojo. I think he's going to be the best out of these four, and I'm really excited to see his career in Columbus.
I love what you said about Tegra. I had my fun fact, my roommate freshman year, Tyler Cross, he actually played at Lakota West. So shout out to T-Cross if you listen. But Lakota West, they're a great football program in the state of Ohio. Definitely one of the better ones. For me, I mean, my favorite player out of the bunch is Kenyatta Jackson, the edge player. I think, I mean, he He might take a year or two to develop because he is kind of light right now. He's only like 235 pounds, and it's crazy that, you know, you say that's light, but for an edge guy, that is kind of light. But I think with our development system and that Jim Knowles defense that really utilizes an edge player, I think he might be a guy that could potentially blow up in the future.
Yeah, I tend to agree too. And you know, with that pick too, there's not a player on this, you know, on this commitment list that I, you know, that I'm not like scratching my head about. And there's a couple players that were on there last year, but you know, obviously some have moved on in the transfer portal. Some had, you know, some are sticking around, still project players. But I got to go, you know, another player that I'm intrigued. It may take him a couple years to completely develop, but that's three-star offensive tackle Avery Henry, 6'6", 305. He kind of reminds me of the project of what we had with DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. DeJuan, if most people remember, like Avery Henry, was rated in the thousands. You know, he was even a three-star. He was not a high three-star. I mean, this guy was recruited pretty lightly. And Avery Henry is the same way. And honestly, it's not a bad strategy to take one of those projects every year. Sometimes they work out like they did with DeJuan. Sometimes they don't, like we see with some of these guys that are currently on the roster that haven't been able to crack the two deep even. But I'm okay with taking a guy like that every year. And I think, like you said, it could take him a few years, but down the road, you could definitely see him contributing as a Buckeye.
Absolutely. I mean, what I like about this recruiting class is you have your studs, like you have your, you know, your Sonny Styles, you know, your must have studs, your big name recruits. We kept the Ohio prospects in state, which is such a key in my opinion. Just, you always got to protect your home state, and Ryan Day continued to do that, which is huge. And then we still nab prospects from states like in the South, like Georgia and Florida. I mean, these were two, you know, big staples in the urban era, especially Florida, and we're continuing to maintain a stronghold in the South, which is important. I mean, I think too, all these guys, even if they don't have, you know, a big five-star ranking next to them, like a guy like Keon Graves, who, you know, didn't have the stars at first, and now, you know, he's a big, obviously his stars have bumped up since he's gone to Ohio State. I mean, I like that. Just, I feel like that's a good fit though. We recruit for a lot of fits, I think. And Keon Graves, like, you look at him, he could be almost like the next Olave when you watch him play. So we recruited, I think, guys, not necessarily by stars, but we got, you know, we still got our stars, but we got guys who fit in good. We protect the state, and we got, you know, I mean, I'm just happy with the class overall. I thought it was a well job done.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they finish it, because I know they're still trying to land players on really both lines.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line recruiting in this cycle wasn't where it needed to be. They missed on a lot of big targets on that side of the ball. And really the same can go on defense, although they're still trying and they feel pretty good about their remaining targets. So I'm interested to see how it finishes out, but I agree. So far, so good.
Like right now, obviously the big recruit on the offensive line is Carson Hinsman, the guard. He's from Wisconsin. He is crystal balled to Wisconsin at 100%. He postponed his decision. I personally find it hard to believe that. I think he will go to Wisconsin. I feel like it's very hard to take a guard from inside Wisconsin, getting them from basically to flip over to Ohio State. That's going to be a tough pitch. And then obviously we know stud hasn't really been great the past, you know, few months, unfortunately. Do you think it's fair that people are kind of calling for his head right now?
I do think it's fair. You know, over the years, he has never been a good recruiter. Never. And we've known that. And we've been able to live with it because the offensive line has been so talented. You know, the last few years since Stud has really been in Columbus up until this season, the offensive line was one of the best in the country. He produced Remington winners. He produced first round tackles. I mean, the guy has really done an impressive job, but now when you combine the lack of recruiting with the lack of on-field results, you know, how much longer can you possibly stick with it? You need a guy who can at least do one of the things. And if the results on the field aren't there and the results in the recruiting room aren't there, then obviously it's time to get somebody in there who can at least change something.
I know Buckeye fans, including Zach Smith, that does the Minnesota Sports, and you know we've all been on the message boards on our talking about our mixed feelings about Zach Smith. But could it be possible that they could bring in Ed Warner as an offensive line coach back? I mean, he's the number two. He's ranked as the number two offensive line coach in America. I mean, Coach Studd is number three. So.
Ed was a great coach in Columbus. Unfortunately, I think that bridge has burned. His exit wasn't exactly pretty.
Bring him back.
I mean, I did it as a joke. It's a good thought.
It's a good thought.
But, I mean, with everything, I mean, you never know with, you know, the guy, Bill Bindenball, from Oklahoma. He's supposedly ranked the top offensive line coach. I mean, you know, yeah, they're bringing in Brett Venables, but I mean, I'm not sure if he's still on staff or not. If Ryan Day wanted to pull the plug and try to get him before Lincoln Riley tried to get him out there at USC.
The rumors over the years, every single year, the name that keeps getting floated around is Harry Highstand, who used to coach in Notre Dame. He was with the Chicago Bears for a while. That's the dream hire. Outside of that, I think they would probably look for a young guy. They could even look at a guy like Kennedy Cook, who has been in that room before. Justin Fry is another younger guy. So they do have options if they want to go that route. If I had to put money on it, would say that Stud will be back next year.
Oh, for sure.
But I could see it either way.
I know who they should call. Our boy, Jamie Sumner.
You joke, but honestly, I like if Jamie or one of them put in, or maybe like Orlando Pace, what is he up
TJ
to?
TJ Downing. I mean, TJ Downing does a great job up there as a color analyst up in the Northeast Ohio radio station, Stadium 820 AM. And he's a good friend. We've had him.
He does the offensive line academy too, I believe, right?
Yeah, he does. And the reason why I brought them guys up, because, you know, those are our boys. Those are our reoccurring guests on the show. So I had to bring our boys up on the pod, just, you know.
I mean, personally, I think I would lose my mind in like a great way if either of them got that. And it's probably not going to happen, but I personally think Justin Fry would make the most sense, just because he has those Chip Kelly ties that Ryan Day has. I can just see that kind of pipeline working out, in my opinion. He's 38. UCLA, I mean, I'm not super familiar on how that offensive line really operated. When I watched because I'm going to be completely honest, other than the game against LSU, I really didn't watch much UCLA football. But in that game, I mean, I thought their offensive line was getting a push against an SEC defense. So I think Fry would definitely be a solid option from what I've watched. But I mean, I do agree that we got to give Stud one more year to fix it, because COVID kind of threw everything off. And I mean, he has done a decent job in developing like DeJuan Jones and the tackles, but I would like to see more of like guys like Harry Miller and some of the interior play.
I think that this year was really interesting because they ran that four tackle set the whole year.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work. No. I know last year
it didn't work in 2018 either, when Dobbins first year.
No, it didn't. But, and you know, what's funny is that the two common denominators there as well, in addition to the offensive line running four tackles, is the quarterback can't move. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you have Haskins in 2018 who can't move, and you have CJ Stroud this year who looked like he can. I mean, he showed it last year, his first ever touchdown
refused
was that long run. Yeah.
But he refused it. Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see too. I want to see if we, you know, play a little bit more Donovan Jackson, you know, who's looked pretty decent. Even Matt Jones. I thought Luke Weipler played pretty strong for most part. I think obviously his weak game was the Michigan game. But yeah, the offensive line needs a little fixing. I mean, but I think all in all, they played pretty well for most of the season, but in crucial moments, obviously, against that team up north, they struggled. What I'm interested to see, what are some of the names in the transfer portal that we could possibly maybe Sway to come to Columbus and play, not necessarily offensive line, but maybe any other position? Because right now, with Seven Banks being very questionable if he's going to come back or not.
He expects the Rose Bowl to be his final game, he said. Yeah. But
which will make our deep, which may, could make our DB depth, our, at least our corners, pretty thin. I know with Eli Ricks, throw that aside, but what are other some names that we could possibly see in the transfer portal? Maybe possibly look at Ohio State.
Yeah, it's been early indications are that Ohio State really isn't going to do a whole lot. It seemed like they were going to get Ricks at first, and then obviously they decided not to, and then Saban stole him. It looks like they were going to get Austin Stogner from Oklahoma, but now he's going to follow Rattler.
Which makes sense.
Right, it does. But they missed on both of those guys. So I don't really know what Ohio State's going to do. They were trying to get Miles Frazier, the offensive tackle from FIU. He's going to go to LSU now, so they missed on him too. It just seems like the guys they want, they're not really pushing that hard for, which makes me think that they really don't want to add a whole lot out of the portal. Now, is this a good move? I don't know. But it's just what they're doing, you know? I don't really know what they're going to do. I don't know how much they really want to add.
I think personally it could be a good move because you could lose depth because the way the transfer portal is now in 2021 heading into 2022 with every guy wanting to play and, you know, some Buckeye fans who don't want to have that transport portal change. They want the guys to continue to stick around. But if we bring in new guys that could probably start right away, then that's when you see the depth of the younger guys say, hey, you know, I came here to play and I came here to develop. I can go play somewhere else. Kind of like a Cody Simon who's been here a couple years and said, finally, hey, if I'm not getting on the field, I'm going to Kansas where I know I'll be starter day one.
I think that for the most part, Ohio State is going to look at guys maybe in the realm of Nao Teote, you know, a guy who's a veteran but isn't expecting to start or play a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes more sense than going out and grabbing a starter like Ricks, who would be great, obviously, and he would start right away, but it might scare off some of these younger guys. So I do think maybe they might look to add a few lower-end veterans like that who can play some spot minutes, play some spot snaps, but not necessarily be a, you know, five-star guy like Elias Ricks was.
Kind of like a Jonah Jackson. Jonah Jackson came in, and when he first came in, I don't think he was meant to start day one. It just happened to fall that he ended up starting day one and ended up becoming like what, second team all Big Ten or something like that. I would like to see a guy like that where the expectations may not be there to start, but if that happens, it happens.
I have a guy that I think would kind of fit that build for you, Cass. Texas, they have a guard in the portal, Rafiti Giamari. I probably butchered that name. Rafiti Giamari. It's about 6'5", 294 pounds. Class of 2018. Ohio State did offer him. He committed to Texas, but I mean, he's a guy. We probably need more guards considering, I mean, I think that's the weakness of our offensive line right now. He could be a guy like a Jonah Jackson, a veteran presence that we could, you know, reach out to. Might not start like you said, but could make an impact.
That's a great point, specifically at that guard spot, because when you look at Ohio State's offensive line next year, you know, your tackles are going to be DeJuan and Paris Johnson, who's going to kick back outside after playing guard this year. So you're going to have two guard openings. I think Matt Jones will stick around and take one. Whippler stays at center, and then you're going to kind of have an open competition for that other spot. You've got Enoch in there, Harry Miller, Donovan Jackson, a bunch of younger guys, Josh Fryer's in there as well. A bunch of younger guys competing for that spot. And I'm interested to see if they do try to bring in a veteran to push those guys along and maybe even potentially take the job.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I'd like to see Donovan Jackson because I like the kid. He was one of my favorite recruits. But it's just all about competition. But yeah, I would like to see that, like you said, the veteran presence to push someone. So
best players need to play. I mean, we just need to, Ohio State needs to figure out what the best offensive line combination is. And that's tough. That's Stud's job though. That's going to be a tough job to figure out because there's so many ways you can play it. But I don't want to see them do the, you know, the four tackle experiment again, because every time, like Dave was saying, we did this previously and we had Dobbins and Haskins and it was kind of ugly. And then, you know, the next year we get away from that. And I know Fields definitely helps open up everything, but we see it again this year, kind of rear its ugly head with everything. So I want to see us play more traditional, you know, two natural tackles, two guards, a center, because I mean, it's so true. It's fine from a pass blocking perspective, the four tackles, I think, but anything from like the running part, you know, just basically getting short yards or the QB, it just makes it impossible. And it's something you think it too. It's like so crazy because you would think, oh, adding two bigger bodies in there is probably going to benefit getting a push, but it actually doesn't, which is crazy to me.
I really think this year they just didn't have the depth. Mm-hmm. They had to play the four tackles. They didn't have any guards. I mean, you really look at who they played all year, and they ran the same six guys out there all year long. It was the five starters and Matt Jones. They didn't have a second guard that they could just plug in there and take the spot. In addition to that, I think Thayer Munford, who was a guy a lot of people thought would leave after last year, I think he came back and said, look, I want to play guard this year. I think I'm going to play guard in the NFL. I want to play there this year. And if you're Ryan Day, obviously you're going to be like, okay, you know, I'll take you back and I'll play you at guard. So I think that their hands were kind of tied this year in terms of how they aligned it. Maybe Matt Jones could have played a guard spot, but you don't want to lose Paris or anything like that. So I really think that was their only option this year, and their hands were kind of tied. Next year, they're going to have a lot more flexibility, so we'll see.
Yeah. Do you think I thought Thayer played pretty well at guard.
Yeah,
but when he came in against Team Up North and had to go up against Hutchinson, where he got the videotape where he got embarrassed, you know, it's all over tape. Do you think that him playing end up having to jump the tackle in the middle of that game kind of messed with his head a little bit, and why he completely missed that block? Because that was uncharacteristic out of there.
Yeah, I do think that. I mean, you look at any time you have to make a drastic adjustment like that in the game. And you might say, oh, it's not that big of a difference going from left tackle to left guard left guard to left tackle. But it is a big difference. Mm-hmm. Those are two completely different positions. They recruit two different, completely different types of players to play those positions. And having to go up against the best in the country, Aiden Hutchinson, who was objectively the best in the country this year, and he earned an invite to the Heisman ceremony because of it. I think it definitely was a big factor in why Thayer's performance suffered. If you told him before the game, hey, you know, you're preparing and you're going to play left tackle this game, I do think the results would have been better.
I do too. So real quick, and I want to get both of your guys' thoughts, because we haven't really talked about this even in our message boards, but Devin Brown, the quarterback, we got to end with quarterback, you know, Devin Brown from Utah, I thought was interesting when he came out and made his recruiting video. He made sure there was a mountain of snow behind him while he was wearing his Ohio State shirt. Was that a thing where, hey, Buckeye fans, I can play in the snow, I can play in the cold? Because a lot of Buckeye fans criticize C.J. Stroud because they say he can't play in the cold because he's from California. Do you think that was a hey, Buckeye Nation, I'm a quarterback that can play in the cold?
I mean, I don't think he'd be taking a slight at Stroud. I think it's more of he just wanted to do that almost to embrace the Big Ten. I think it was more he wants to embrace the cold weather. He knows what he's getting into. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be 70 degrees in November like some of these southern schools. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be Big Ten weather, and that's fine. I don't think it was a slight at Stroud, though, but I am excited about Devin Brown, and as long as he actually comes in, learns the playbook, doesn't take an endorsement deal from Rick Reichert
and then leaves for
Utah or BYU, I mean, he's going to be okay in my book.
Well, Devin Brown is an interesting case because, and first of all, Cass, I think that's a great question. And Dan, I really liked your answer as well, because I don't think it was a slight at Stroud either. But if you remember, Devin Brown was committed to USC first, right? Mm-hmm. He was going to go play in Los Angeles in that Southern California football weather. And then that changed. you know, Ryan Day really put a full court press on him, which first of all makes you wonder if he knew what was coming with Ewers. But he put the full court press on Brown. He takes a visit and commits to Ohio State. And I don't think it was a slight at Stroud, but I really liked it. I like seeing that mountain of snow back there. I like seeing him out there in that Ohio State gear. I think he'll be ready to play day one. Obviously, Stroud's going to be a starter. But I really like the attitude. I'm excited to see his career.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't think it was a shade at Stroud. I just think it was a great idea to do that just because, you know, I know a lot of older folk Buckeye fans that just, you know, have criticized Stroud. And that's why I've defended him so much on my social media, just because how much I love Stroud. Like, I have a man crush on Stroud just because I think he's a great athlete. He's a great quarterback. And I do think he's a great leader. And I'm like that with all the players. I back our players no matter what their decision, other than the Quinn Ewers situation, because I thought that was shady.
It was. there's no denying it, but it's... Yeah.
But I do like the fact that, you know, we get an idea of what type of guy Devin Brown is going to be when he comes to Columbus.
I mean, I think he's just a good character guy for the team, too. I truly do believe that. I believe what I like about Ryan Day, too, is he's going out with these quarterbacks recently. He's getting his guy. He's going out and getting his guy. He personally went out and got – I know McCord was a 4-star, but everyone – but the way that worked out was Day went out and, like, personally scouted McCourty. He looked and said, I want this kid to run my offense. I think that's how he felt when he recruited Devin Brown. I think some coaches sometimes just look at the stars and just go, oh, this kid's a 5-star athlete. Ryan Day, I think, actually does his due diligence and really looks into these kids, looks into their character, their work ethic. And I could totally see Devin Brown being a success after, you know, Stroud's going to be gone after he's going to play next year, obviously, and then probably leave. So Stroud's going to be gone, and then it's going to be between McCord and Brown. And that's going to be a really interesting QB competition, I bet.
Especially we could possibly have, we get Stroud for next year. We could have 1 year if McCord just completely balls out. We could have 1 year of McCord because he'll be draft eligible. And then we have Devin Brown for the rest of the way, unless some other big name out there for the next future quarterback that Ryan Day goes after.
Yeah, I haven't even started looking into 2023 and 2024 yet. It's some people are already on 2027 right now.
I'm to the point, let me get to the Rose Bowl, and at the end of the Rose Bowl, then I'll start looking at 2024, 2023.
Exactly.
I'm pretty confident that as long as Ryan Day's the head coach at Ohio State, they're going to have a good quarterback.
Oh, for sure.
That's the one thing that you can pretty much set in stone is that Ohio State's quarterback and really their offense as a whole will be pretty solid as long as Day's the coach.
I have a question for both of you. I want to get your takes on this. Dallin Hayden he's a great player. I mean, if you put on his tape, dude is a highlight machine. I'm very excited that Ohio State got him as a running back recruit. But now that room's getting a little heavy, and there's no way to deny that. You have Travion Henderson, you know, he's going to be entrenched for the next two seasons as a starter, barring something crazy happening. You still got Mayan. You got Evan Pryor, who everyone thought he was transferring because he tweeted out some cryptic stuff, but it was just, I guess he was just venting on Twitter. And then you got Dallin Hayden coming in, and you still got Marcus Crowley, I believe, even though he's a little, I don't know what's happening with him. He's all banged up, but there's a lot of talent in that room right now. And sadly, there's not enough touches to go around in my opinion, but I mean, do you see one or two of them transferring? What are you guys' takes on that?
I don't think any of them will leave this offseason. Master Teague is gone, obviously. It'll be determined whether he uses his extra years elsewhere or if he decides to go into coaching or go to the pros or whatever. I don't know what he's going to do next, but his career at Ohio State's over.
Unless he moves
whatever
to
guard. Touches he got will be free. Right. Unless he moves to guard.
He could. He's a tank.
So those touches will be free. But I look at what Georgia's done over the last 2 years, right? Like, you have guys like DeAndre Swift, you know, elite NFL running back splitting carries. Nick Chubb. Yeah, if you can pitch it to these guys, like, hey, Travion, hey, Mayan, you know, I'm going to do a little timeshare with you guys, and you're going to get to the NFL, and you're going to have half the carries you would have had if you're a bell cow, and all of a sudden your NFL career can last a few years longer because you haven't taken all those hits in college. It could make a difference. It really could. I think the way that college football is now, you see it at Bama, like I said, you see it at Georgia. Even up at Michigan, they are splitting carries heavily. Well, and I think that is going to be the norm.
Dave, that's a great point. You could totally do that. My problem is, though, is just like the offensive styles are completely different, though, because like Georgia and Michigan, they run they're more power heavy. I mean, Ryan Day's offense is more aired out. So I think it's just tough to find. I mean, it's really tough to find that balance. I'm not saying it's impossible, but Day would really have to, you know, he has to be on top of who's getting this carry here, literally looking at the stat sheet constantly to manage that. But I mean, it is possible.
I mean, we saw at the end of last year. Trey Sermon. I mean, Trey Sermon was getting 40 carries a game, right? Like the touches can be there.
Yeah.
It just depends on whether they're running it effectively. And how the momentum of the game is going. Because like we saw, I think 1 year ago from when we're recording this, 1 year ago today, was the Trey Sermon Big Ten Championship game where he ran absolutely wild and set a bunch of records. So obviously it can be done in a Ryan Day offense. So I'm interested to see how it plays out.
I think that, you know, next year you're going to see obviously Mayan Williams and Travion, but Travion getting the bulk of the carrier. I'm interested to see what Evan Pryor does. We have problems in the kick, you know, outside of Emeka Buka.
Thank you.
It's going to be interesting to see what we do at the punt returning with punt returners. We haven't had a good punt returner. I mean, I thought KJ Hill was solid, getting 8 yards every return. But Evan Pryor could return kicks and return punts in high school. I kind of like to see can they utilize him in a punt return situation.
Definitely either punt return or kick. I think more kick return. I see more as a kick returner because I trust JSN back there returning the punts. I mean, he did a pretty good job from what I remember of him returning punts. I mean, I feel safe with him fielding it at least. That's half the battle with punts. Kickoff returns, I think Pryor would be honestly a perfect body type, him and along with Abuka. I think Pryor, he's more of the body type where he's willing to take on contact. I think that's on kickoff returns. That's so essential. I'm not saying it's not essential on punt returns, but it's more just securing the catch. Kickoff returns, though, I mean, I can totally see Pryor fielding it, getting 20, 30 yards, putting his shoulder down, running into someone and doing that consistently.
I think just because with Emeka Buka and how explosive he is in kickoff returns, Evan Pryor will bring that second solid guy backer because, you know, eventually teams are not going to kick it to Emeka Buka because the way teams are starting, you're either kicking it out of the end zone or you're kicking it short to make guys field it. And Emeka Buka is just fantastic with the ball in his hand. So it'd be interesting if they put Evan Pryor on that special teams as that second returner, but also give him touches in the games like Arkansas State and Toledo when we, you know, in those games when they get ugly, it's going to be really, really nice.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them all. I could also see them sneaking them into the game and using them almost like at a slot or something for a few plays, just something like a quick, you know, like a jet sweep or something, just sneak them onto the field here. I mean, I think Ryan Day's offense can get a guy like Evan Pryor the ball, and maybe not necessarily out of the running back position consistently, but they'll find ways to get him the rock. I'm sure of that.
The amount of touches they're losing with not only Olave and Wilson, who are obviously the big ones, but you also have those auxiliary touches like Rucker and Teague, and those guys won't be around next year. There's going to be touches open. Egbuka is going to slide to wide receiver. You wonder if they're going to keep using him on kicks then, which will open up some more touches. So I'm interested to see how this all plays out. There's going to be a lot of touches open, and I'm interested to see who gets them, who claims them, really, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be who claims them.
G. Scott Jr. is going to get some touches. I think he's going to – a guy who, you know, he's – I mean, he played not a ton at tight end this year because he was the third tight end because Stover was obviously – and honestly, too, Mitch Rossi was kind of a tight end, too, at times. So Scott, I think Scott will definitely take a lot of receptions. Not the volume Ruckert had, but I think he will step up and at least get in the 10 to 20 catch range, I would estimate.
Stover is going to be the Luke Farrell type. That's going to be the dude that's going to be the lead blocker. Because I think that was the issue with running up the middle this year is I love Ruckert. He wasn't that lead blocking tight end. I think Stover can be that guy, like a Jeff Heinerman, who will make a flash catch, and a Luke Farrell, who will make a flash catch here and there, but will be solid in the blocking game. I think that's the type of tight end that's going to flourish in a Ryan Day offense. That's just my opinion.
I agree with it, Cass. I completely agree with that. It's going to be interesting, too. I mean, I don't anticipate him playing 3-star tight end Bennett Christian, 6'6", 235 pounds, big body.
Don't forget our boy Joey Royer and his afro.
Joe Royer. He had a couple catches this year.
The great hair of the Buckeye football team.
Cincinnati boy, Joe Royer. Yeah. Out of Elder High School in the GCL.
Absolutely. I really wish that some more kids would come. I mean, what Luke Fickell's done is a great job, but I wish more kids from the Cincinnati area would come to Ohio State. But it seems to me that they're going elsewhere, especially with the way the Bearcats are playing.
Cincinnati is such an interesting city because it's in Ohio, but there's not a lot of Ohio State fans if you didn't go to Ohio State. You know what I mean? There's a lot of Notre Dame fans here. There's a lot of UK fans. And obviously, of course, there's a lot of UC fans. But Cincinnati is just so interesting because there isn't that born Ohio State loyalty like you have in some of these other cities, even if you don't go to the university. Cincinnati's not like that. So I'm interested to see how – and Day's done a pretty good job these first few years, but I'm interested to see how, as Fickell continues the climb and the plateau of UC football, how well they'll be able to do here.
Right. I got a funny thing is a lot of people ask me if I'm rooting for Cincinnati in the playoffs. And let me tell you, as much as I love Luke Fickell, but being a Bengals fan and being in Bengals – fan Facebook groups, you know, as a diehard Buckeye fan, I hope they get beat really bad by Alabama just because how much they sit and talk about Ohio State. Obviously, like, you know, I've got family that I can't, you know, that are Bama fans that just drive me up the wall. But like I told everybody, I'd rather see Alabama win another national championship than see any of the other three schools win a national championship, just because we're used to it, and Alabama fans are a little bit easier to deal with than if Michigan or Cincinnati would happen to win the Natty. That's just personal preference as a Bengals fan.
Yeah, we'll get into it more on our next show when we break down the playoff games and obviously the Rose Bowl. I'm conflicted. Obviously, I'm never rooting for that team up north. I'm not going to do that Big Ten stuff. I don't like Georgia. I don't like Alabama. And I have nothing against Cincinnati other than I just don't want to see like little brother, like win the national championship. And we'd have to hear from them for an eternity about that. So I guess go Alabama just because it's like the status quo. If they win, nothing really changes, but I don't know. I'm conflicted.
I just can't wait for this class to get enrolled, get Mickey Marotti after these guys. I wish I don't know if they do this, but I would love to see just like a 1 week where all the new recruits come in before the actual football team comes walking in. I would love to see Mickey Marotti get after them for at least 1 week before they be introduced to the Buckeye team, just to see how he acts. I think it'd be cool.
Kind of like a freshman boot camp.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that, or they had like a, maybe not a week, but a couple days or something where they, the class comes in bond. I bet you there is something. I'm sure a guy like Zach Smith or will break it down or something on a podcast or something, what they do for the freshmen. But I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. That sounds about normal. Cause I mean, that's what like high school coaches usually do with the freshman team. So I could totally see that happening.
I know they have like on the weekend when the recruits arrive, I know they always have like a luncheon on the first day where they have every single coach, every single full-time staff member, every single full-time, like one of the 10 on-field assistants will speak to the team. They'll all have their parents there, their siblings there, all that. Everybody who's dropping them off will all be there listening. And it's a really long kind of luncheon that they always do every year. And I really think it's a good way that they get the freshmen involved early.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just by the way, if you guys get a chance, and I was going to hit Dan up, but here in a couple weeks, it's going to be a big time basketball matchup. But if you want to see the Sonny Styles and his pure athleticism, they play Gahanna in a couple weeks on a Friday night. I highly recommend you paying a ticket to go to that game against Gahanna and just really watch Sonny Styles and how athletic that kid is. And he's a very good basketball player too. Just, I wish he would just hit some of his free throws, but that probably has a lot to do with maybe his broken finger and stuff.
But
just to get a chance to watch a kid like Sonny Styles play a sport where he can actually use his athleticism, because if you watched any Central games this year for football, nobody went his way. Nobody went his way. So, yeah, I'll get the date for you guys and put it up in the message board. And so I think I'm going to try to go to it if I don't have a game. But when they play Gahanna, which is going to be a top matchup for basketball, I highly recommend you go see Sonny Styles.
Absolutely, I honestly might go check that out. I want to see a good basketball game with some Ohio State players, future Ohio State players, but. I mean, I think that about does it for this episode dedicated to National Signing Day. Before I take it out, any other thoughts, guys? Or
I'm good. Dave, just again, how can our listeners reach out and how they can go in and like the Silver Bulletin and all of our social media?
Yeah, so on every social media, it is T Silver Bulletin. That's Twitter, Instagram, and our website, tsilverbulletin.com. Of course, you guys are available on Apple and Spotify, also listed on the website. A lot more to come, guys. Merchandise coming soon. We're really excited for the direction we're headed in. And yeah, so just everybody keep it up, and big things are coming here.
And real quick, Wednesday night is when Dan and I will release the prizes. I'm thinking a first and second place finisher, just because how difficult some people who doesn't normally pick against the spread. So a first and second prize will be released. We'll release at the end of the next episode. Absolutely. And then we'll also put it on our social media account.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we don't have to track down the winners again like we always do. But that's another issue we'll get into. But, I mean, that does it for this episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. So thank you all for listening. Follow the Silver Bulletin on social media. Follow us on social media. As always, go Bucks.